Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, welcome to another edition of our patron-only podcast. What we do is, if you donate $5 a month, you get in a drawing. If I pull your name, you get to have your own mini quick shot podcast with me or Andrew sometimes, and we talk to you for 10 or 15 minutes. And this month's winner is George Hilburn. Is that correctly how I said your name?
Oh yeah, said it better than Eric Paulson says your name.
Eric, I think he does it as a joke every week to just pronounce it different to see if he can agitate me.
I hope so.
I love Eric. He's like the real life Ron Burgundy. So George won, and so George has got a cool question he's going to ask me, but I try to do like a general topic because we make this podcast public. So, because we want people to say, hey, this is cool. I'd like to talk to Ralph or Andrew and have my own little show. So we try to entice them to donate $5 a month to do that. You get this drawing, and you get to get a free magnet if you donate for a couple of months. So that's cool. So, George, my topic was I want to talk about a Saints player that you loved as a kid. And it could have been a star player, or it could have been just been some random Saints player. But what was a player that you loved as a kid?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's a guy that comes to mind right away. And when I was little, Archie Manning was the face of the franchise, you know. I mean, he was on everything. Everywhere you look, it's Archie. And so as a little kid, you know, that's who I would have thought of. But, you know, as I got older and learned a little more about football, it was less Archie and Ricky Jackson. I mean, yeah. Ricky Jackson was the guy. He was
my first jersey I ever had.
Oh, I believe it. Sure. I mean, he was a monster. He was just as close to unbeatable as you could get, and loved watching him play. I remember being so sad when he left and went to the 49ers, but then, you know, he turns around and gets a Super Bowl ring. And, you know, okay, yeah, it's for the 49ers. And especially back then, you know, everybody in New Orleans hated the 49ers.
Well, I'll say this.
You had to be happy for the guy, you know.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
And I'll say this about Ricky Jackson. And I say this on Twitter, and I argue with people. I've argued with media people from New York that called me crazy and blocked me. But Ricky Jackson, in the history of the NFL, is the best linebacker after the age of 30 in the history of football.
Oh, yeah.
He had over 70 sacks post 30 to like Lawrence Taylor only had about 50. He had 9.5 sacks at age 37 with San Francisco. His best years were like post 33. And the thing is, nowadays, you don't think of that as crazy. Man, in the 80s and early 90s, for post 30 football players to do anything on defense, if you weren't a corner, was insane. Because they just didn't have the nutrition, they didn't have the medical advances, they didn't have the science. And Ricky Jackson did it. I don't know, he's just blessed by God or whatever. But post 30, he was incredible.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, look, he was drafted back in 81. And towards the end of his career, 92, 93, he's first team all pro. You know, still. It's just incredible.
Yeah. My favorite Saints player, I thought about this, and I'm going to cheat a little. The one guy that I loved later and I stand for him. He's one of the, to me, he's the most underrated, underappreciated Saints player in history is Wayne Martin. That dude had double-digit sacks at three different spots on the line. I mean, he was unbelievable. Yeah. He was even still good. He just got so tired. Like, the Saints in 1999, when Jim Haslett, they tried to convince him to stay because he was still good. And he was like, nah, I'm just going to retire. I'm tired of the dick nonsense and all.
Right.
But he was great. He was great. And I remember the moment I knew that he was special was that was back when he was a player. They didn't have they hadn't yet developed the unfettered free agency that they have now, and they had the plan B thing, but they also had free agency where if a player was a free agent, a team could just come along and sign them, and then they could sign them, and the team would have a week to match, or you'd get two first-round picks. And when Jim Finks was there, they had a couple of players for the Saints that did that. Pat Swilling signed, and the Saints took the whole week to match. Wayne Martin signed with the Redskins, and the Redskins in the early 90s were like the team that knew what they were doing. They had Joe Gibbs and Bobby Bethard and all that. The Saints took one day and were like, no. Wayne Martin, you're staying. We're matching that. Like it took them one day. And that just told me that, like, not only did I love Wayne Martin and know how great he was, like, the Saints knew it and they didn't fool around at all.
Yeah.
And that was Jim Finks who let Bobby Hebert hold out a whole year over money.
right.
So you had a question for me. So you asked me your question. I'm excited. Ask me this.
All right. So, you know, if you had to pick one option, would you rather have the Saints win the Super Bowl in Atlanta this season or win it in New Orleans in 2024?
Oof.
All right, so now, on the one hand, Atlanta, right? I mean, think about the humiliation for Falcons fans, right? I mean, they'd have to evacuate the city if the Saints win, you know, because the Saints fan would just be going crazy. I mean, I'd cancel my Monday flight home just to wander around the streets of downtown screaming, who dat, you know?
I don't think America, and I said this on the podcast, I don't know if you listened last night, I don't think America, George, is prepared for what is going to happen if the Saints are in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Because I don't think America, they don't understand post-Katrina that there's thousands of expat New Orleans people living in Atlanta permanently.
Yeah.
And America also doesn't understand the Saints-Falcons rivalry. Like, they just don't understand it. And the thing is, you know how most rivalries like Steelers, Ravens, or Cowboys, Washington, or whoever you want to, Packers, Bears, like their fans are obsessed with like proving that they're the number one rivalry in the NFL. Saints, Falcons fans, we hate each other so fucking much, we don't even care that America understands the rivalry. We just want to hate each other. And I don't think...
Right.
Like, we don't care. Like people are like, oh, the Saints-Falcons, it's not the number one rivalry. We're like, we don't even care, dude. We just hate each other. Either you want to come and enjoy this or go about your way and go on these other rivalries that aren't as fun, right? So I just don't think America is prepared for what's going to happen Super Bowl week. So it would be amazing. Yeah.
If the Saints win, you know, they beat Kansas City or they beat, you know, whoever, it's not Atlanta. We won't care. I mean, even if somehow the Saints could beat Atlanta for the Super Bowl, you know, which is impossible, but even if they could do that, I don't know it would be that much better than
a victory in
the Super Bowl against anybody in Atlanta, right?
No, and here's the thing. The only reason why I would be tempted to have them win it in 2024 is because then you're talking about most likely from 2006 to 2024. That means the Saints are either good or fairly good, because I couldn't see them. I couldn't see this team totally falling apart and then building back up to 2024. So they'd probably stay good even if they didn't win the Super Bowl this year, right? They'd stay good for that period of time. The only reason why 2024 is so tempting is because Bridgewater would probably be the quarterback and his celebration dance would be amazing, right? In New Orleans. So that'd be amazing. But the other thing, George, is my kid is only three, and he doesn't really – I've got him hooked on LSU because he likes the fight song and he likes to wave the tiger paw. So I got him hooked on LSU, but I don't have him hooked on the Saints. And in 2024, he'll be nine, and that's like the perfect formative years to like hook him and make him a Saints fan forever, right? If the Saints are good in that time. So that's really, really tempting. I have to say, though, because I'm a selfish person, I want the Super Bowl and I want it now and I want it in Atlanta. I would probably pick winning it in Atlanta, but it's really close. That's a really great question. What about you? Would you rather it now or would you rather it in 2024?
Well, you know, the thing about having it in the Superdome, you know, I keep thinking back to what it was like inside the dome for the home opener in 06 against the Falcons, right? And the emotional high of that victory just beats everything else that I can think of, certainly that I've experienced with the Saints. And I wonder if maybe winning the Lombardi in the dome would be even better. I mean, it might be.
The party outside would be great. I don't know how many actual Saints fans would be in there because Superdome, the Super Bowl is so corporate and it's hard to get tickets. Although people in New Orleans could just say, fuck it, and pay the price for the ticket because you wouldn't have to fly there, right? So
I think a lot of people would.
A lot of Saints fans, right? So that's possible.
Where I came down on it was saying Atlanta now, but more about because that means that the trophy is going to Breeze.
I
don't think he's going to be quarterback in 6 years, you know?
Yeah, and I want to be able to argue that Breeze is one of the top three quarterbacks of all time, and if he could get another Super Bowl and own all the passing records, I can make that case, and that's fun.
Right.
George, this has been amazing. I love that question. Because of that question, they're going to have thousands of people listen to this, so I'm excited. But before we let you go, how long have you been a fan, and what drove you to actually contribute money to us?
Well, I mean, so my first game, you know, this definitely dates me. My dad took me to go see the Saints in Tulane Stadium. You know, so I've been paying attention to him for a long time. But, you know, I didn't come across you guys until just this past off season. And I know you've been doing the podcast longer than that. But what I have been doing is reading your columns for quite a while.
Oh, at WWL, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, man, I love your writing. I really do. You know, I mean, you're like in my top three Saints beat writers. You know, I mean, Henderson was a poet. You know, and Nick Underhill is a great analyst.
Nick Underhill's the best beat writer the Saints have ever had.
Well, you know, he is.
I
can't imagine how much time he puts into reviewing stats and rewatching games, you know.
I tell this Nick on Twitter, and I have a little relationship with him. I tell him this. I'm going to be so sad when he leaves because he is not going to be with us forever. He's just not because he's fantastic at his job. I mean, Mike Triplett is great too, so maybe he'll be Mike Triplett. But I just – like the way Nick Underhill obsesses about it, the Athletic or one of the advanced statistics sites, they're going to gobble him up because he's so good at it.
Right. Yeah, but Ralph, look, you're unique among that cast of guys because I mean, you're a very good writer, but you bring heart, right? You bring what real fans love to talk about. And a lot of other sports writers pass on some of those topics because they don't think they sound serious enough, you know?
Well, the thing is, I will say this.
You get on with the guys, and every time I hear y'all or read your column, I feel better, you know? Even after that train wreck in Dallas. He cheered me up. I didn't think it was possible. Keep up the great work.
The one thing I will say about my writing is WWL, they let me do almost anything that I want. They've only not accepted my column, I think, twice in the decade plus I've been doing it, right? I wrote a column about making fun of Ray Lewis, and they were like, no, you can't make stabbing jokes. That was that one and maybe one other one they've rejected, but everything else they let me go. And I understand I can't curse and I can't make lewd jokes, so I know my parameters. I can maybe push like PG-13, right? So I know my box that I'm in, and they let me do whatever I want. And so that's been fun. But the thing that separates me is everybody else is trying to write what happened, why did it happen. My main thing when I look at a Saints game and I do that recap con, I'm like, why is this funny? Why is this funny? Yeah. Now, I never always get there, and sometimes every column can't be a winner, right? But that's my theory on what I'm trying to do, and that's what we do in the podcast. Like, why is the Saints game funny? Whether they win, the Saints either were laughing at the other team because the Saints are winning, or we're laughing at the Saints because they're terrible. Like, those are the two options that we have. There's no other path for us, you know?
Well, and that's where the joy of it is, right?
Yeah. So, George, thanks, guy. I appreciate it. This has been amazing. Thanks for donating, guy. We appreciate all the fans that support us. And this will be up in a couple weeks. And patrons, hey, if you want to have this conversation too, it's $5 a month. That's like a tall Starbucks latte. You should do it. So, George, thanks for joining us. And everybody else, we'll see you later on down the line.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.